right, welcome to the Leadership Connection. I'm your host, Doug Plucknett, and today I'm sitting down with reliability leader George Prada from Facebook, of all places. George, how are you doing today?
Good, Doug. How's it going?
All right. Just for you folks, George and I met several years back. George was a reliability leader at Cargill Corporation. Then he's gone on to work for places like Constellation Brands and on to Facebook, which has got to be an interesting place to work. And we're going to talk today about George has been recognized as a leader for years and some of the things that went on in his career that made him the leader that he is today. So I've got a few questions I'd like to talk with George about, and we'll get on with that. So George, tell me about your background. Where did you go to school and what companies have you worked for and the roles that you worked in for each?
Yeah, no, I'm certainly excited about talking with you about this today, Doug. So I've been what we call a Bay Area born and bred. And so I grew up in San Francisco Bay Area. Pretty much I've lived here my whole life. I went to school out here, got a undergrad in mechanical engineering, immediately went to go work for Cargill as a shift supervisor. So right away I was able to just jump right in and kind of work the graveyard shift and just start to like understand process and operations. And it was a couple of years later when I got the chance to go back to school and got a double master's in business and engineering. So that was great. You know, the organization paid for it, and you know, got to learn a little bit about business and really apply myself even more around systems, processes, and whatnot. So I spent quite a bit of my career at Cargill, just under 13 years, mainly a lot of operational and maintenance roles, but it really wasn't until I got into maintenance where I really got the opportunity to develop a passion for reliability and asset management. I got to be a maintenance supervisor, eventually the plant maintenance manager, and pretty quickly after that got the opportunity to lead reliability across the business unit. And that's where I really got to understand just around like the influential leadership aspects. You know, I worked with a lot of folks that didn't necessarily report to me, but, you know, really got to like interact and learn a lot from them and understand, you know, like how can we bridge some of the gaps that we have from a reliability aspect and start driving some of these improvement efforts. So, you know, got the opportunity to join Constellation Brands. After the 13 years that I was at Cargill, you know, was there about 18 months, but I would say, you know, got the opportunity to make an impact and start developing some fundamental reliability programs there for them in a director capacity. And currently, as of July of 2019, got the same opportunity to join Facebook and lead their asset management programs that have just recently started actually as of this year. So here I am full circle.
Very good. So when you were first recognized as a leader, who you're working for, was there a project that you're working on, and what really brought around that recognition of George Prada being a leader?
You know, so I really have to thank the opportunities that I got at Cargill to really even understand like what a leader is. And you know, when we're in organizations, you know, we always think about like, hey, the way how we progress is that we're going to become managers one day. And I got the chance to actually be in a supervisory capacity just immediately. But it wasn't probably until a couple of years in that I started to understand how I could be a leader amongst my peers. And honestly, it really just started happening in the day-to-day work that I was doing as I was interacting with other fellow young supervisors, you know, other engineers. Well, we really needed to influence people, and we really needed to just really align and ensure that, hey, if we need to be the one that speaks up in this dialogue or this conversation, you know, that's what a leader is all about. You know, there's a lot of traits, behaviors, characteristics, if you will, that leadership really brings into the table. So I really felt very early on in my career, I was able to be recognized as a leader. People looked to me for guidance. People looked to me just in confidence, just to have a conversation. You know, not only did that with my direct reports, but more importantly, with a lot of my peers.
Interesting. And I have to say, in all the years that I've done some work with Cargill, I've always admired that they're not afraid to throw these young engineers into the fire and make them maintenance and operations supervisors. So I, looking at the young engineers when they did that, I always kind of thought, boy, that's got to be a real challenge coming right out of school and being thrown into that type of position. That's quite a test, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, it's not for everybody. You know, there's a lot of engineers, you know, where we need them to be engineers. We need them to be project managers. And there's some that are going to, you know, eventually just find their way on that path to becoming leaders, you know, and leaders amongst, you know, the others.
All right. So in your career, was there someone you looked to as a mentor, somebody that influenced your career? And what are some of the things that you learned from that person?
Yeah, there was certainly two as I was progressing through my career at Cargill, and I really leaned on each of them. One for those leadership and managerial aspects, and then the other was around like just the reliability and asset management. And these two individuals, you know, really took me under their wing, and they taught me a couple of things. You know, number one, really enhanced my view on being humble, being bringing a lot of humility, you know, to being an effective leader, you know, not only amongst the people that you work with, but also the people that you lead. And then the other individual really helped around taking me under his wing around, you know, what makes up an effective reliability and asset management strategy, you know, efforts and processes, if you will. And guess what? It was always about people, you know, like it's all about the people that enable those processes. You know, the other individual, you know, just really taught me that, you know, you really need to make sure that you're always putting, you know, your people first. You know, like whenever we would do these surveys, you know, around like engagement, you know, we really needed to understand and we really needed to take action, you know, even if it was just one data point. You know, it's important to always be, you know, actively listening. You know, it's understanding like what your people are feeling. You know, there's always going to be those folks that, hey, even though they might seem like they're the negative ones in the room, you know, there's something that they probably have to say. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to take everything, you know, at face value. And sometimes, you know, you really have to take the time to understand, you know, what truly is, you know, he or she saying, you know, behind, you know, let's say this, you know, this negativity that might come across to other people. So, you know, yeah, they really both taught me about listening to others, and it really taught me both about making sure that, you know, that we're humble and you know, those are just very important.
Because negativity often is just a sign of frustration. Somebody's frustrated by something in the workplace, right? And that's what makes that negativity come out. And until you dig and until you show you're interested in what those things are, that's all you get back is negativity. But when you show that you're interested in and that you care, all of a sudden that changes, doesn't it? Suddenly a person that's perceived by others as being negative is somebody that's coming to you to say, hey, this is what I think is going on here, and this is what I'm frustrated by. And you end up working together to make a gain on something like that, typically.
Yeah, and just a quick story on that. You know, so this one particular individual who, he certainly was one of those, like you said, Doug, you know, kind of brought that, you know, negativity, if you will, or just like that perspective. But, you know, people really listen to this guy, you know, like when anytime that, like, let's say I would be having a, you know, a tailgate meeting, or, you know, we were presenting a topic, you know, the other mechanics, the other folks, they always look to him to just speak up. You know, initially it was very, you know, like you said, on the negative side. I quickly realized, you know, like, again, you know, the whole aspect around like listening. And, you know, I want to say, you know, I need to like utilize this to the advantage of how this whole team can progress forward, you know, and that person quickly became an advocate for me. And when I needed to either present or speak to a topic, you know, I might have sat down with that individual first to help, you know, like influence his peers, and just really using that as an advocate for the whole entire team there.
Yeah, that's great. Now, George, if you don't mind, who were those two people, the leaders that mentored you?
Name specifically?
Yeah.
Yeah, so on the people aspect side, Vince Gilardi, who was superintendent at the time, you know, eventually him and I became peers up until he ended up retiring. You know, somebody that I still certainly keep in close contact with, you know, on a professional and personal level. And then on the reliability asset management side, Rick Baldridge, who is currently still with Cargill.
Yeah, I know Rick quite well. All right. What are some of the things that motivated you to become a leader?
Yeah, I've really struggled with, you know, like early on, you know, having like effective guidance, you know, from, you know, before I met, you know, these individuals that I just mentioned, and I really wanted to give back to the to not only my peers but just to even my direct reports, you know, what I felt that they deserved. So for me, it was, you know, like being an effective leader is really about, you know, like focusing on your people and really knocking down the barriers for them, you know, ensuring that you're taking the time to give them development, you know, both, whether it's both professionally or whether it's to focus on those performance goals that you've both set as a manager and as an employee. So those are the things that really motivated me, is that I really wanted to give back. I really wanted to make sure that I was able to foster even future leaders for the future. I mean, it's one of the things that I'm most proud of when I look back in my career. You know, it's not a very long one, but it's you know, when I have people reach out and just, you know, like want to just ask a question, you know, and just want to get some guidance on that. You know, in a certain way, you know, kind of like leave a legacy, you know, like even if it was like, let's say at a Constellation, you know, I was there for 18 months, you know, like what impact did I have with the people that I interacted with? And really having that as a purpose, you know, for me, making that people impact and developing future leaders is something that's been motivational. And even today here at Facebook.
All right. So looking back at your career, what are some of the accomplishments that you made that you're most proud of?
Yeah, I've used this example and even during when I interviewed here at Facebook. And so I'm really proud of a program that I developed at Cargill. And I even got to name it. It was called ROME, which stood for Reliability, Operations, Maintenance, and Engineering. And it was a 5-day boot camp where we had a lot of engineers that were coming into our organization. Like, just like you said, Doug, you know, a lot of these folks, you know, probably have no understanding of, you know, leading teams. But even more importantly, you know, a lot of the stuff that we learn in college, you know, at the university is, you know, very theoretical. You know, we don't get the opportunity to really understand processes, equipment. How do you run these things reliably? How do you design them? You know, how do you operate them? How do you make sure that they're maintained effectively? So we developed this 5-day boot camp. You know, I pulled a team together. And it was really just to cover all those aspects, you know, from all the different equipment and processes that we had in place. And it was really just to like tool up these individuals with these particular, you know, like knowledge and skill sets. And, you know, we had about two to three of these a year there at Cargill to really just to kind of skill these folks up. We really also wanted to tie it back to the bottom line. So, you know, they would have projects that they would have to go and implement, like this newfound knowledge, if you will, back at the plant. Something that I was really proud of because it really tied back to my whole like leadership philosophy around just development and just ensuring that you could be the most effective leader and engineer that you can be. So that's certainly one of the main things that I was proud of that I got to do.
I can imagine that is quite an accomplishment. So, what you're in a role now where you're, you know, getting to be a upper level manager, let's say, and you're in a company in a position where you're hiring or promoting people. When you're looking for leaders, what are maybe the top two or three traits that you look for in a person?
Yeah, they have to be effective at working in teams and they have to be effective in working with people. One of the things that I, you know, Vince, who I mentioned earlier, who taught me is that, you know, you could be the greatest maintenance mechanic that I could ever hire, but if you can't work with people, you know, you can't collaborate, you can't work effectively with others, you're no good to the team. And I understand that we need technical people in our organization, but the success of an individual is really through the success of the team. And, you know, I've seen that, you know, like, you know, at Facebook, Constellation, you know, and even in my earlier, you know, careers when I, you know, before I even finished college. And it's one of the things that I always look for. So a lot of like the questions that I always ask is just around, you know, examples of how they've worked effectively with others. What are some of the struggles and how they've really worked through that? So that's certainly one of the things that I really look for. And I want also somebody that is, again, not to emulate myself or anything like that, but it's somebody that's also taking the time that, hey, if you're going to be leading a team, like, how are you developing your team? How are you ensuring that you're focusing on those opportunistic areas? And, you know, we're putting either the experiences or the projects in place so that they can continue to further develop. Those are, I would say, some of the top two things that I look for as I'm bringing people on, or as I'm mentoring the people that I'm leading as well.
All right. So nearly every leader that I've ever worked with will talk about a training course or a book that inspired them. Are there any courses or books that you could recommend to our listeners and what were maybe some of the key takeaways to those books or courses that you got?
Yeah, one of the most impactful ones, Doug, was, you know, I got to go through this High Performance Leadership Academy, and it was internal to Cargill. But the most effective message that I got out of it was around managing change. And I think this is very important for any leader, you know, whether you're a new supervisor or, you know, you're even the CEO of an organization. And, you know, and the message they really talked about was around the importance of not only how to manage change, but then what are the signals that you need to be looking for to understand how you can minimize resistance. Because any kind of change, regardless of how important or how great the change may sound, you're always going to get some level of resistance. And the more effectively that we can communicate the vision and how we're going to get there, and also making sure that you understand, like, what is the current dissatisfaction with why we need to progress that change, I would say the less resistance that you're going to really get. And again, I think that's really important for leadership, because anytime that we're leading teams, we're always looking at how can we continue to improve things. And that means, guess what? Change. So that was one of the things that really has kind of just stuck with me throughout my career. If I were to also maybe call out a book, you know, there's probably a couple of books. There's one called The Leadership Challenge by Kuzes and Posner, and then another one, Good to Great by Jim Collins. You know, both, you know, really just look at like leadership behaviors, and they also like talk about the importance of evaluating your team and understanding what are the opportunities on how to ensure that you have like the right person on the right seat on the bus. You know, sometimes we need to reshuffle and ensuring that we have the right team so we can be effective. And again, always focusing on continuous improvement.
All right, thank you. So if you were forced to pick one way or the other, is leadership a natural skill or a learned skill?
Man, that's a hard question. you know, for me, I would say it's a learned, it could be a learned skill. With the caveat of that, you know, you have to have some foundations, you know, as a person, you know, and if somebody that struggles with being humble, like I was talking about earlier, is certainly going to struggle to be an effective leader. But any effective leader is going to know that you always have to continue to work on yourself. Hey, just because you got to that CEO or that like director of operations or director of reliability doesn't mean that you're done. And so that's why I lean more towards like the learn skill, because you should continue to develop, you know, on yourself and understanding how you can, you know, continue to work on those opportunistic areas and continue to even build on your strengths.
That's an interesting answer. I tell people I'm usually one. If somebody were to ask me, I would say it's probably a natural skill. But I think you added a very good point that, you know, there should be some continuous improvement that goes along with that, and that would be something that you learn. correct? I mean, you got to learn, first you have to admit to what your own shortcomings are, right? And then you have to learn how to deal with those. So that's a great comment. Thank you very much. All right. Someone once told me that in our world, you can either be a leader or a manager. What are your thoughts regarding that statement?
Yeah, I would say like you can have a person that's both. You can have someone that is not in a managerial position and is a leader. That individual I was mentioning earlier, that person maybe initially might not have been thought of as a leader. That mechanic I was talking about that was kind of negative Nancy, if you will. But he was a leader amongst his peers, and guess what? He was not in an authoritative position. And I've really looked to those individuals to understand, like, where do we have like those informal leaders that can really speak out, that could really just, you know, lead through influence. But we also need like those managers that are just managing processes and managing, you know, the important elements of the organization. You know, some of those people, you know, are not going to have like some of those leadership traits that I mentioned earlier. You know, but they may bring other, you know, other important elements, you know, to the success of an organization. You know, there's certainly always going to be those people that are going to always inspire us. You know, we hear about them in the news. You know, whether it's, you know, the people that have started, you know, some of these tech companies, the people that have, you know, just taken organizations and introduced, you know, like Lean Six Sigma and reliability asset management and things like that. I think you can, it's okay to have both, you know, and I think it's important to understand that leadership doesn't always mean that it's the person that has the title in their name.
Yeah, great point. In fact, in my career spanning 40 years, I think that I've worked with one person that was good at both. It really seems to be a separation sometimes between the two. Not to say that it's impossible, because the one that I did work for that was just an incredible manager and leader. I mean, he could not only inspire people, but he knew how to make the numbers, how to lead a process, how to understood the operation from start to finish and what it took to get people to motivated to make the place run efficiently. All right, so our last question of the day, and you talked a little bit earlier about the boot camp that you developed. I've got another question. It's really about what would you say is the greatest success of your career? Was it that, or is there something else that you could add?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I would say, Doug, it's really making my family proud. You know, and you know, just kind of growing up as a young kid, didn't have a lot of guidance. You know, outside of, you know, my mother who did a really good job in taking care of me and my siblings, but just really making my family proud and being able to be in the positions that I've had the chance to be, you know, both proud to my family, both proud to my wife as well. That's been really important to me to ensure that I can, you know, not only provide for my family, but I can also reflect back and see the people that I have made an impact on, you know, both in the workplace, you know, both, you know, on the personal level. You know, again, that philosophy is important to me. And that's why I've also see it as a success, and continue to do that, you know, in the rest of my career, something that I certainly continue to envision and always make an impact on people.
All right, that's an excellent answer. And I think I might say that I might answer the same way. It really comes down to family, doesn't it, in the end?
That's why we do what we do. And, you know, I have this quote that, it's in front of my desk here, and it's something that I always reflect on, like, why do I work and why do I put in the effort that I do? And the quote says, never get so busy making a living that you forget to make a life. And this is why we do what we do, right?
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you for your time, George. If listeners wanted to know more about George and find out, you know, about your career and whatever, what are some of the places they could go look? Give yourself a plug.
Yeah, certainly. LinkedIn is always a good start. Had some people that have also reached out on Facebook, so you know I'm okay. So George Parada should be able to easily find, and happy to field questions or answer any perspectives that people would like to hear more about.
All right. Excellent, George. Thank you so much for your time. It's been great talking to you, and I hope to see you again sometime in the near future.
Thanks for the opportunity, Doug. I appreciate it.
This has been our second episode of the Reliability Connection. Until next time, this is Doug Flucknut. Have a great day.